Yes.
Anything happening to you? I haven't heard it.
If I could ask my colleagues to take their seats, please. Good evening. My name is Mark Laredo. I'm a counselor at large from Ward 7. I chair the Land Use Committee. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Land Use Committee. We are being audio taped. I'll take a moment to introduce my colleagues, go over our protocol for the evening, and then we're going to get started right away. We have a fairly heavy agenda. I'd like to try to move it on along as expeditiously as possible. So let me start by introducing my colleagues. To my immediate left is Councillor Jim Cotes, Councillor at Large from Ward 3 and a member of the committee. Behind him is Councillor Jay Harney, Ward Councillor from Ward 4 and a member of the committee. Next to Councillor Cody is Councillor Deb Crosley, Councillor at Large from Ward 5 and a member of the committee. Moving to my right, in front is Councillor Jake Ashenclaw, Councillor at Large from Ward 2 and a member of the committee. Next to him is Councillor Amy Sangiolo, Councillor at Large from Ward 4, not a member of the committee. And behind, again, is Councillor Scott Lennon, President of the City Council, Councillor at Large from Ward 1 and a member of the committee. I do expect that we'll be joined by at least a couple of other colleagues this evening. We have three members of our city staff with us here. Wendy Young from the Legal Department, Neil Cronin from the Planning Department, Danielle Delaney from the City Clerk's Office. She's filling in for our regular clerk, Nadia Khan, who I think is enjoying her honeymoon now, if I'm not mistaken. Probably much more fun than being at a land use meeting. It depends what you're interested in, but I'll suspect that's probably correct. So the way we're going to go this evening is the way we proceed typically. We have an agenda. You should all have been able to see it. We're going to go through each item. We have six in front of us this evening. We're going to go through them in the order that they appear. What I will do is call the item, ask that the petitioner or his or her representative provide a presentation for us. Frankly, if you have a fairly straightforward petition, in other words, if it's seemingly not that complicated, if the planning department has written a memorandum that says, gee, we think this is great, there are no problems with it, don't feel obligated to give us a lengthy presentation. Frankly, shorter is better. But in any event, I'd ask that no petitioner go beyond, say, 10 minutes or so, unless there's a particular need. We then, after your presentation, we'll hear from the planning department as to the particular petition and the issues the planning department has. There'll be an opportunity for members of the council to ask questions of both petitioner and the planning department. I will then open it up for public comment. Any member of the public is welcome to speak. Very basic requirements. You come up to the microphone, you state your name and address, and I ask you to keep your remarks to approximately 3 minutes or less. I do keep track of time if it looks like people are going on. Not because we're trying to cut anyone off, but because we have a lot of petitions. It's very important that we get an opportunity to hear what you have to say. But at the same time, it's as important that everybody else gets an opportunity to speak and we have an appropriate opportunity to deliberate. It is my practice to finish our meetings in this committee no later than 10 o'clock at night. I try very hard to stick to that. I don't think we do good business in the city at midnight, quite frankly. So with that, I'm going to start off with two matters that are before us again. The first is 216-16, a special permit petition to continue a non-conforming use in FAR at 17-19 Pulsifer Street. There's a petition by Nancy Bolanis, and this is in Ward 2. Good evening, Attorney Lee.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, members of the Land Use Committee. My name is Lawrence Lee with the law firm of Rosenberg, Freeman & Lee. I'm here before you on behalf of Nancy Bolanis, who is the owner of 17-19 Pulsifer Street. We are here before you really for an FAR waiver. It's a relatively minor FAR waiver. We are seeking to build in the rear of the structure two enclosed porches with a very, it's a reduced size staircase, and that is exterior staircase, along with a detached garage. Just going back in time slightly, there was a public hearing in the summertime. We had had two neighborhood meetings with the ward counselors, Councilors Auchincloss, as well as Councilor Norton participated in each one of them. We had two separate ones to do scheduling issues with the summer vacations and whatnot. The proposed revisions is a result of a compromise that Councilor Auchincloss helped in trying to broker between ourselves and the neighbors who've expressed concerns. Originally, what was proposed was a three-story exterior staircase that connected the enclosed sun porches. Here, we've reduced that because of the neighbor's concern to a staircase that is only connecting to the first floor sun porch. And I want to really highlight that the FAR waiver, from an aesthetic standpoint, a massing standpoint, really pertains to the detached garage here, because by right, which is off, is an option that we've explored, we could technically build the exterior staircase, three stories, in addition to unenclosed porches, which from a massing standpoint is pretty much the same thing. So those don't count against FAR. So really, practically speaking, we're really talking about 264 square feet of the detached garage. Okay. And through numerous conversations with Councilor Auchincloss, we've explored what my client can build by right. Virtually what you see on the plans, except really for the detached garage, which we can put a detached carport in place of that. As a background story, my client's elderly mom lives with her. We're trying to provide a place where they can park with covered parking, and there's some sort of a controlled environment where you can get in and out. You'll see on the plan that there is a ramp, a handicap ramp that is going to be installed in that location to allow for her to get in and out easier. So that's pretty much the petition. In terms of the context of the detached garage, there are 10 houses in the immediate neighborhood that have detached garages, which are quite actually substantially larger than what we're proposing. So three of which are in the immediate surrounding our property. So the surrounding three properties all have detached accessory structures to their properties, some of which are quite large and substantially larger than what we're proposing. So in following the lines of what the chairman instructed us to do, I'm trying to keep it straightforward and simple. And if you have any questions, please feel free.
Great. Thank you, Attorney Lee. Mr. Cronin, do you want to give us a quick summary?
Would you like me to go through it again, or just the there's also the parking?
I think what you could do that would be most helpful is just remind us what could be done by right versus what's being proposed. Because as always, just so the public understands, by right means somebody can do something on our existing zoning ordinances without coming here for a special permit. And the neighbors don't get heard, nobody gets heard, they get to do it as long as they comply with the building code. Once you come in for a special permit, you have to get approval from this body, but we always think about what somebody could do as a matter of right without coming here versus what they're seeking for their relief, and that's a consideration for us, because if we issue a special permit, we can place conditions on the exercise of the permit that we do not have the right to do if you can build something as a matter of right. So, Mr. Cronin, if you could explain that briefly, and then anything noteworthy that we need to consider, and then I'll open it up to comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Attorney Lee summed the issue of the porches up succinctly. Also, the detached garage meets the setbacks for detached structures. Also, there was the issue of parking last at the July meeting, where there was some debate over if parking was allowed in the front setback, and that is true for two-family dwellings, so there is no relief required for the parking in the front of the structure.
So just if I could, for clarity, but for this detached garage, they would not have to be here? Is that an accurate statement?
If they wish to enclose the sunrooms, they would need to be here as well because the FAR is already over what's allowed. So they can build the sunrooms, but they cannot be enclosed.
They could be like a porch, for example, but not enclosed, and that would be permissible.
They can be enclosed with a permeable material, so mesh or a typical screen.
Okay.
If they are enclosed with a screen, they do not count towards FAR.
Thank you. I appreciate the clarification. Questions or comments from my colleagues? Tasha Washington.
Hard to see.
Do I screw this up on a regular basis?
Yeah, it's okay.
Well, basically, I'll continue. You're only in your first term, so give me at least another term or two.
Ricky Hazen, I got it. Question for the, really for my colleagues and for the planning and legal department. The neighbors have quite an acute concern about the exterior staircase. I understand that it can be done by right. My question is it legal and is it considered a good practice to take away that by right option for an exterior staircase as part of the special permit?
I think the intent of the staircase was also to provide egress from the top floor down.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that I'm not qualified to answer that, because I think that's also getting to a fire code question.
Well, the other question I have is just the logistics of it. She builds it. She decides that she wants to then do an exterior staircase, which would, if we pass it as part of a condition, would technically nullify the special permit. But what are we going to do? Tear down her constructed garage?
But I want Attorney Young to work out. Respond.
Well, first of all, you're going to have as part of this special permit facade elevations that are going to be approved, and particularly because this facade has the posters on it. So if there's a change from that elevation as a technical matter, unless it can be handled with a consistency ruling, and I doubt it can be, you would expect to see the homeowner come back in to seek an amendment of that approved set of plans because they're varying from it. That said, it doesn't always happen that way because a new property owner may not appreciate that there are elevation plans that were part of the special permit. They should. So if you really want to insist that this property owner can't put in an exterior staircase, it's probably a better practice to explicitly state that as a written condition. As to why you would want to do that, that's a policy call, and I can't address it as a legal matter.
Just to be clear then, even though that she can do it by right, we could put that in the conditions of the permit.
You can, but it's a policy issue as to why you want to do that.
Okay.
As I understand it, we can, because when you're in special permit land, so to speak, you get to do things that you can't do just by right. Right? Am I correct?
Yeah.
All right. We've been joined by two other members of the committee, Councilor Rick Lipoff, Councilor-at-Large from Ward 8, and Councilor Greg Schwartz, Councilor-at-Large from Ward 6, both members of the committee. Councilor Schwartz is vice chair of the committee. Any other questions by my colleagues? Councilor Crosley.
So, I don't want to put our new councilor on the spot, but I will a little bit. I wonder, since you've been involved in the neighborhood through the chair, could explain, I hear that the neighborhood has concerns about an exterior stair. I don't understand what the concerns are, and then if you have any thoughts about what, as a policy matter, why would we prevent someone from having a safe egress from the rear of a building?
Go ahead, Councilor.
I invite the neighbors to talk more about this in public hearing. What I heard from our neighborhood meeting is that there's two issues. One is that the staircase is aesthetically ugly, an exterior staircase would be, and it's close quarters there, and it impacts their quality of life that's built around them. And the second is that there are concerns that the third floor of the premises could be rented out separately and kind of used as a boarding room, and that an exterior staircase would make that living arrangement more feasible on an ongoing basis. But I invite the neighbors to say more.
Okay. Yeah. Anybody else? I have just a quick question for the planning department, just so I'm clear, or maybe Attorney Lee. The proposed detached garage, if you're facing the house, is to the right at the end of the driveway, but far enough back from the fences that it's going to meet the setback requirements. Is that accurate?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. That's helpful. Thank you. Anybody else from the committee for the moment? Is there any member of the public who would like
to add on what was been discussed in terms of the exterior staircase? So, you know, talking about by right, and this has been addressed at the neighborhood meetings as well, too, and Neil basically, with his clarification of the unenclosed porches, made a good point. I want to go back to the fact that, you know, if we could essentially by right build aesthetically what we're proposing, inclusive of the exterior staircase without a special permit now. And that's something that I think is key here, is that what you're approving is actually essentially less than what we could. The only difference really is mesh versus glass. You know, from the looking in, looking from the outside, that structure that's being attached to the back of that building will really not look any different. And the garage, as you pointed out, is tucked away in the back. We're abutting a very large detached accessory structure that is at 414 Walnut Street. To our right of that is a strip of land that also belongs to 414 Walnut. It's a big buffer of green space. So it was all strategically planned out so that it's as far away as possible from all the neighbors around it.
But your client's willing to change the exterior staircase.
That's the result of the petition now, is that we've reduced it substantially.
Okay. Good. Any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Anyone at all? Come on up, please, sir. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Zoran Nedeljkovich. I'm at 414 Walnut Street. I spoke at the last public hearing, so I'll keep my comments brief. I hope the committee has received the memo that we sent out yesterday. It includes the letters from five other abutters that are present here. I think the key here is that this project can be pursued by right. And we think that that's a better alternative than what's being proposed in the special permit. And I'll allow some of the other abutters to speak to that, but thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else who wishes to be heard on this petition? Come on up, please. Come on up, sir. Good evening.
Hello, everybody. My name is Orr Shepherd. My wife and I live at 364 Cabot Street, recently moved in there. A couple things I just want to point out, they were included in the memo we sent out, but just, I think, for clarification to help us kind of put it in perspective here. I don't by any means view myself as a FAR expert, but when this thing came up, I went on to the assessor's website and looked at all the abutting properties identified by the city and looked at the FAR ratio for them. And this house in question, Polkola 1719, is at 0.52, 0.53 currently, well above the 0.40 allowed in the SR2 area. And if you look at the abutting properties, the list of them was, there were 33 of them, and if you were to look at that, the average FAR for properties was 0.30, so well below the average. So this is already well, very dense piece of property amongst very not dense pieces of property. If you look at Postal Street as a whole, six houses identified as abutters, the average FAR there was 0.23, so even well below half the average. So this is already a pretty dense property. Now, specifically, we recently moved into 364 Cabot Street. We are, the back of our house has a direct, unobstructed view of 179 Pulsiver Street, and if this special permit were to be granted, we would be staring at the staircase, the garage, the deck, and the additional parking every single day. So, without taking any more of the group's time, I'll just say, the package you sent with the neighbor's objections, we wholeheartedly support.
Others who wish to be heard on this petition? Anybody else? Okay. Seeing none, yes, I'm sorry, Councilor Schwartz.
So other than the staircase, I'm just a little confused. What else would be by right on this property if they're already above the FAR? I don't see how they could increase the living space without coming back for a special permit.
Counselor, could you speak into the microphone? Or they could do the sunroom by right as long as they didn't had a permeable wall. So if it was a screen.
So they wouldn't be enclosed in living space. So right, I don't think that's what they're aiming for, right? They don't say in their petition.
Who's right?
The developer, the petitioner, yeah.
No, they don't want that. No, they want. That's why they're applying for the special permit to
part of why they're part of it. I'm just making the question or point that what I'm hearing and what I read in the abutters, you know, alternative is they can do this by right. The only thing I understand they can do that's in line with their program is the external staircase. They can't do the rest of their program without a special permit.
I think that's accurate. I think the point they were trying to make was that they could build in, they could install a deck or a screened-in porch and comply with the ordinance by right without the garage. They call it a sunroom, but it's really, you can call it whatever you want. It's an enclosed part of the house. Once they enclose it, my understanding from council and from the planning department is that triggers the requirement for the special permit. So we could, just so we're clear, we could have something there, but we would not have a full season, fully enclosed room, essentially two rooms. Councilor Cody.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just for Councilor Ogdenclaw, they had a meeting, right, a neighborhood meeting on this? Two neighborhood meetings. And what was the consensus?
It was not a consensus. I mean, as you've heard, the neighbors are not in favor of this. Or at least a substantial variety of the neighbors are not in favor of this.
Can I inquire of the council from the ward or the planning department? Because I did a quick drive-by this evening just to go back over the site. As I understand it, if you look at the house, fairly large house, fairly small parcel, open strip of land next to it, and then a house that abuts on Cabot Street. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That's
which
right.
Looks like it's undergoing some substantive renovation.
Yes.
Okay. And the concern from immediate neighbors is that there's going to be more density on that, what's a relatively small lot. Is that?
I think that's a fair way to summarize the concern, yes.
And the density is to the rear of the lot and
to the rear right of the lot and to the rear of the lot as you look at it.
So the density to the rear right is where the garage would be.
Right.
That's visible. That's a single-story structure. The additions, I'm not going to call them sunrooms, but the additions are to the rear of the lot and so visible only from the side lot or the parcel in back. Is that an accurate statement as well?
That's correct.
Okay. And they are on they're off the first and second floors?
That's correct.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Go ahead.
I want to just clarify, essentially if you look at that screen at the moment, so that's the special permit. If we were to do this by right, what you virtually see is the structure that's shaded on the left-hand side there, and then immediate to the right of that will be a three-story staircase. That would be the by right option. So the massing and the aesthetics are going to be quite close. So the windows that are there in that addition, instead of windows, will be mesh, some permeable material to make it comply with the definition of an unenclosed porch.
If you chose to build that way.
And what essentially the theme here is that under the special permit, it's a better project. And what we've been trying to convey to the neighborhood is that some of the concerns that they have will actually be not addressed if by not granting the special permit, if that makes any sense.
Understood. Councilor Crosby?
So I'm troubled by the notion that we would prohibit someone from putting a stair to a third floor as part of a special permit to do this very modest, you know, to accomplish a very modest level of request. It doesn't seem to me consistent at all with how we have viewed other petitions. And it troubles me that I hear that the other residents in the area don't think that the stair is attractive. The garage exists, right?
No, it does not.
It does not exist.
A new garage.
Okay. So what the neighborhood would prefer is either, and I think I heard this, that if they put screens in the porch, it would comply, and they do it by right. That's the only thing that they would need to do.
I would be hesitant to say the neighbor. I know that that Zoran feels that way. I don't want to speak for the rest of the neighbors. I think they'd frankly prefer that nothing was built there. As I said, I think the density is the biggest concern.
But I heard someone say that since there's a by right option, why don't they go proceed and build the by right option?
You may not want the by right option.
No, I understand.
I think that's what's really
important. Yeah, I would prefer that to the special permit, yes.
Right. But the fact is that the by right option allows the garage, allows the structure.
It allows a carport.
And it allows the structure, which is the, which could be screened or closed in, but it's the same structure, it's the same
correct
size.
So theoretically, as a practical matter, I think people are less likely to build those, to be blunt.
I know a lot of people who build screen porches and so forth, but I'm just trying to get a handle on this, because...
So I think I see what you're getting at, and I guess this is as good of a time as any to say it. I'm intending to support this special permit. I am convinced by the argument that the by right approach is actually going to be more detrimental to the neighborhood, as they have defined what detrimental means to them, than the special permit approach. I've also gone and visited the site. I've been impressed by the quality of the design that you're putting in for the shed, for the garage. It's a compromise. I don't think either side is fully satisfied, frankly. But it's a compromise that, to me, serves the neighborhood better than the by-right option would have.
Before we get into a back and forth debate, I did see a couple people who wanted to comment. I want to make sure we have an opportunity for them to speak, and then I'm going to close the entertain a motion to close the public hearing. Someone who's not spoken, come on up, please, if you want to speak. Anybody? I want to make sure we give people an opportunity to speak.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. My name is Brian O'Connor. My wife and I live next door at 27 Pulsifer Street. One point that was not made is that this house already has two interior staircases that go up to the third floor. I've been in this house several times. I've helped people move furniture in the house. We've heard that the staircases are not viable. One of them is pretty tight, but the other one is fine, and that's one of the reasons why we think, well, we don't understand the reason for an exterior staircase.
Anything else, sir?
Oh, excuse me. So the other big concern of the neighborhood is that there's a proposed deck on top of the additional sunroom, which kind of overlooks a lot of the different properties that abut. So that's...
Is that a third floor deck? Is that something that could be done as a matter of right?
The third floor is a non-conforming aspect of the structure, so I believe a deck and de minimis can be added to the third floor of the structure, as long as it does not contribute to FAR.
Are you proposing to add a deck to the third floor?
That's as is proposed right now. Yes, there is a deck as proposed.
And your view is that that does not increase anything here, even though it's a non-conforming use?
It's
I don't know that it would be held to increase the non-conforming use because it's not habitable space. It's just a flat surface that's exterior. I don't know exactly how ISD would call it, but they might call it either way.
Is this something we can put yes or no in our special permit to be clear?
Yes, you could put it in exactly as you could not allow there to be any exterior staircase going up all the way through. It's a policy call, but the question is, again, it's a question of policy.
Councilor Auchincloss?
Well, you have to put the exterior staircase, but is that applied to the deck as well?
The question, as I understood it from Councilor Laredo, was whether or not the council could prevent the deck going on as it's shown. The answer is yes, the same as you could prevent a third-story exterior staircase from being built, for the same reason. It's a policy call.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Councilor Schwartz?
Still have a comment. And again, I'm sorry, I was a little bit late, so this had all been discussed. But the fact that our council, Ms. Young, has mentioned a couple of times that it's a policy call, some of these things reminds me that we really should be trying to decide on a petition based on whether the relief that's being requested is appropriate and whether it meets the standards for relief being approved. So perhaps we should just focus on that.
Well, the standard is substantially more detrimental than the existing non-conforming
exactly.
use.
So exactly.
What we're trying to parse out is what does substantially not more non-detrimental mean to the neighborhood.
Exactly. But that doesn't mean whether the policy move we should not allow something that's by right.
It's not
allowed by right. If it turns out that putting a third floor deck on there is allowed by right, that's just not part of the conversation.
I don't know if you could put that third floor deck on if you didn't do it with two structures.
Well, then we should get the clarification whether that's a legal point rather than a policy point, because personally, I don't think that we should be making a policy decision right now. That's a zoning question. You know, that's really sort of zoning policy.
Let me pose the question. Could you structurally build this deck on the third floor if you had the mesh enclosed structures?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that could be done as a matter of right as well. Okay. All right. That's helpful. All right. Is there any other member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? I've seen none. I'm going to entertain a motion to close the public hearing. All right. Motion to close the public hearing. All in favor of closing the public hearing? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 8 in favor, none opposed. The public hearing is closed. Is there any debate or discussion before I entertain a motion to act on the petition?
Can I ask the petitioner a question?
Of course.
Attorney Lee, would you proceed by right or by special permit if the exterior deck were not permitted? Or are you not able to answer that question?
Putting him on the spot here.
Yeah, I am. That's why I was. If you want to take a moment to consult with your clients, feel free to do so. Councilor Schwartz, while you're talking, go ahead.
Just following up on my previous point, I just wonder if we should talk as a committee about whether we think it's substantially more detrimental, if that's the standard, whether what's being proposed here is substantially more detrimental or not. I mean, the argument would be, and I understand that it's been raised in some of the emails, that the surrounding FARs are much smaller. So more detrimental, substantially more detrimental, if this were increasing the FAR significantly more, I suppose one could make that argument. On the other side of it is the actual bulk of the structure is not changing whether there's mesh or windows. So I suppose if the purpose of the FAR is to really be getting at the bulk issue, you're really not changing that. So substantially more, I think it would be hard for me to make the argument that the fact that there's windows there instead of mess is substantially more detrimental. Now, I can see the arguments about the deck on the top potentially being more detrimental to the neighbors, but I don't know if that's part of our quest, part of our purview, given that it's by right. So then I guess the question is whether the garage, which also increases the FAR, is more substantially more detrimental. And I perhaps could entertain that, although it's been argued that there's another structure on the other side of the property line that is not blocked by that. So, I don't know. I'm opening it up to other folks, but I think those are the questions we should be asking right now.
Councilor Lennon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In terms of the structure and the mass of what I'm looking at there, I'm not troubled by that, because the feeling is if you're going to go by right, I'll just say, there's still going to be a foundation there. There's still going to have to be wood framing to put mesh. Right? I mean, you can't just put a wall of mesh, so there's going to have to be some aesthetically different looking material there, but the structure is going to be there. And I think that this is a better alternative than what a by right alternative could be. I think this looks more aesthetically pleasing. So what my question is more so with regard to the proposed shed and the proposed garage that are both, what I'm looking at the plan of land, are 5 feet away from the property line. So I thought people would be a little bit more concerned about that than what this to me doesn't appear it's going to change much, whether it's by right or by special permit, except it's going to be 8 windows instead of a wall of mesh. I'm a little concerned about that, maybe pulling those back off the property line a little more. So I mean, I'm not wedded to that, but I haven't heard much conversation about that.
Councilor Arkenclaw?
So, again, to the lens of substantial more detrimental, first, we're comparing it, the proper counterfactual right is not what they could do by right, it's technically what exists now. Am I right about that?
Run that by me again, I'm sorry.
The proper counterfactual for substantially more detrimental than is not actually what they could do by right, it's actually what exists currently.
That's correct. I believe that's right standard.
So, I think that's more than a pedantic point. I don't think the garage is a big deal, personally. A car could go there anyway, right next to the property line. The garage is going to be modeled on the same design and architecture that the shed was. It's going to be gorgeous. It's either going to be that, or they're going to be looking at a car versus looking at a nicely designed garage. So that one doesn't concern me. I think the concerns I heard that to me struck at the issue of what would actually affect quality of life for neighbors is the sense of density in a crowded neighborhood, density that to a certain extent infringes on the sense of privacy. And the exterior staircase in the deck contributed to that.
Okay. Does that answer your question, or Councilor Lynn? Anybody else wish to comment on this? Councilor Harney?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to be abstaining on this matter tonight, and for the main reason is that due to work and personal things going on, I haven't had time to go by and take some time to look at this site. And I always do that, and I haven't been able to do it, and it will probably put more things in context once I go see it. So I don't know where I am on it, but I don't feel comfortable voting either way.
Fair enough. Anybody else wish to comment? I'll add my observations. I don't have a problem with the garage as proposed. In fact, I think garages tend to be a lot more attractive than carports, and I think if we can actually hide cars, that aesthetically looks better. I think garages in our climate are valuable to people, and I think they have actually a fair amount of importance, particularly because, in my mind, the garage is set back. It is close to the setbacks, but it's within what's permitted otherwise. There's fencing there, and it's one story, so the garage doesn't trouble me.
I do appreciate that the exterior staircase, at least going up to the third floor, is gone. I don't think the additions are bad. I'm struggling with the deck, frankly.
And I want
go ahead.
Add to that, just answer your question. The petition did agree to remove the third floor deck as part of the petition as a further compromise to get the special permit approved.
Okay. Well, I think that's helpful. It's a prerogative as to whether to do that or not. I don't want anybody to feel any pressure to do anything. I want to be very clear about that. I can understand why that might make the project somewhat more aesthetically pleasing.
The architect wanted me to clarify that the roof is still going to be there for the second floor, because that's...
Understood. You're going to have a roof. You're just not going to put a deck on top of it.
Yeah, but I hope you have a roof.
Councillor Crosley?
I appreciate that concession, and I imagine it may appease some of the neighbors who might be thinking about lots of people on this roof deck. However, just to be clear, if there's an exterior stair there, you would need to go out onto the roof. You'd have to have something so that you could get to the exterior stair. I just want to be clear about that.
There's no exterior stair there, Councilor Crosley.
So the exterior stair we have in our packet is off the table.
It's an exterior stair only to the first floor.
But if there were to be an exterior stair.
But there's not, and there can't be. Because we're approving it as is.
I understand. Okay, fine.
So we're approving a set of plans with no exterior stair. They cannot, it's my understanding, now build an exterior stair. And I actually would suggest that we put something in the board order so we're crystal clear about that. Unless people would differ. Okay?
I would not favor that, but okay.
Okay. Well, we can debate it. Just because I want to do something doesn't mean anybody else does. In fact, usually, just because I want to do something, there's usually a lot of opposition. Alright. Do I have any other comment or discussion? Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved. Alright.
Motion to approve. Do I have a draft order? I want to put it up on the screen so we can see it.
Oh, I apologize.
I'm sorry. The picture is helpful, but we need the words. And I know you had something in our packet. If you have any problems, we can work off that. Folks, if you turn your attention to your packet, it was at the... there's a draft board order, I think, with the first... I'm sorry, there's a draft board order here. Two conditions. The first is a proposed expansion of the non-conforming two-family is not substantially more detrimental than the existing non-conforming use because the dwelling meets all dimensional regulations with the exception of FAR, lot size, and number of stories, which are pre-existing non-conformities. Does anybody have any questions about that first finding? And the second is the proposed increase in floor area ratio from 51 to 58, where 40 is the maximum allowed by right. Well, not, we have it up there.
Okay.
Let's go to one. Any issues with one? This is different than what you had provided us previously. At least the first finding was not in the draft order with our material.
Okay.
Am I missing something? The second one is what is in our packet as number one.
Okay. Delete one if you want, or just use.
This is
the
draft order.
Okay. Use the draft order.
Yeah, use the draft order.
Are we suggesting we don't need number one? Is that right, Ms. Young?
That number one, no.
I agree.
The number one in the draft.
Okay. So the draft, we're going to focus, up here is number two is in fact our first finding. Any questions or comments on that? Okay. Do
you have the next finding, please, Ms. Corn?
Afraid I'll have to read it. The second finding is the proposed increase in floor area ratio from 0.51 to 0.58, where 0.40 is the maximum allowed by right, will not be interrogation of the size, scale, and design of other residential structures in the neighborhood, because the proposed additions adding mass to the lot are to the rear of the structure, thereby mitigating their effect on the streetscape.
Questions or comments on that, Councilor Schwartz?
I guess it's a question. I guess in the past when we've talked about adding mass to the back of houses, we say this about the streetscape, but is that the only criterion? Because I would think that certainly what we've heard tonight is concern from the side abutting properties. The FAR is there for concern about the bulk perceived from any direction, really, right? It's not just from the streetscape.
That's correct.
Okay, so I think this is not really quite enough. We might want to add to it that, you know, and is also hidden from abutting properties by, I don't know, structures or screening or I don't know why, but clearly we're hearing that it is somewhat detrimental.
The garage is protected by a fence primarily.
Just my inner voice, I guess, is not being. Do we want to say that there's enough screening on the sides as well, so that minimizes the effect on the abutters?
I think it's hard to find that personally with the second floor case in here. I don't think any of the screening
is going to
minimize that.
I'll use my mic if you use yours.
That's a direct challenge. Boy, I have a feisty committee this evening. Now that I'm using my mic, I'm having a hard time accepting that for the second floor addition. Certainly can accept that for the garage. What's the will of the committee, Councilor Crosley?
I don't particularly want to wordsmith it at the moment, but we have been talking about the fact that there's a negligible or no increase in the sense of mass or whatever the language was that we used to pass FAR, the sense of mass and bulk relative to what is in fact allowed by right. And I think people have also established that it's preferred to have an enclosed, finished, quality garage building than it is to have an open carport. So it seems to me those things can be said. These things serve a purpose.
Those are very helpful suggestions. I'm going to suggest this. Rather than try to craft precise language right here and now, if you can take Councilor Crosley's sentiments and work them into something that will work, I think that will strengthen our findings, address your concerns, Councilor Schwartz. All right, let's move on to the conditions, if we could, please, since those are the things that folks have to live with. So if we could, do you have them on the screen or not?
I could try to get them up, but they are standard conditions, except the two conditions that the committee decided on here tonight. I would recommend, I think with Ms. Young, that they go under the no building permits approval condition until...
Let me be sure that I understand the sense of the committee, that the two conditions that would be added would reflect, and we'll need to have either modified plans showing this, or if not, we'll say that the conditions will control anything to the contrary that's shown in the plan. One of them is to be clear that there is not going to be an exterior staircase that goes up the second and third floor. That's how it's shown in the plan, I believe, right now. And the second would be that there would be no deck on the third floor over the top of the sunroom.
I think that is the will of the committee. Is it going to be a substantial expense to redo the plans in that regard? I don't want to see the petitioner spend any more money here.
let me suggest this. If Attorney Lee, you don't have to answer that now. I'm going to suggest we put it in the order. And if it's a de minimis, my recommendation to the committee is if it's a de minimis expense to get the plans right, probably makes sense just to do it to make them clean. If it's more than de minimis, the order is going to control. We know what the intent is. Unless that folks feel otherwise, I don't want to see them spend more money here. Is that okay? Colleagues? Good? Okay. Anything else for this order? Attorney Lee, do you want to, I'm going to entertain it through your counsel. Attorney Lee, what's the issue?
So I think we're okay. I think we'll work with the planning.
Could you come to the microphone so we can hear you? I'm sorry.
Oh, yes. We will work with the planning department to fine-tune the board order.
I'm sorry, what?
We will work with the planning department to fine-tune the final.
I think that'd be advisable. We're not, we don't want to micromanage the drafting here, and I think it will require some thought to make sure that the intent of the committee, what the petitioner is willing to do, is very clear. We do not want to have an order that's either confusing or unfair to the petitioner or confusing the members of the public. And what I'd ask is, we're taking this up when? A week from tonight? Do you think it's... No, not a week. A week from tonight. Do you think it's possible to have a draft board order for us, say, Thursday during the day, or is that too difficult?
I think we can probably do this one Thursday, as long as I don't have another six to do.
Well, I only ask because it's for some of us a holiday on Monday, and I want to make sure that we have some opportunity to get back to you if there's concerns about it, and I want the committee to have an opportunity to weigh in on the language. If you don't, and it's Friday, that's fine. Just talk to Attorney Lee, please, as well. Make sure we get it just right. Okay? If there are neighbors who want to see a draft of it, I'm fine with communicating with them. What I'd ask is to speak to Ms. Young. She can send a draft out to you as well. Okay? No harm in communicating. Okay? We have a motion, all in favor of approval. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in favor. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Councilor Honey abstaining. We take this up a week from tonight. There is no opportunity for the public to speak at that point. However, any member of the public is entitled to communicate with the city councilors orally or in writing at any time before Tuesday night. If you do communicate in writing, address it to our city clerk and ask it to be circulated to all the city councilors, and that's how we get written communications. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Attorney Lee. We're going to move on to number two, which is a continuation of 217-16 special permit petition to extend a non-conforming two-family use at 50-52 Rose Street. Meet now I'll see Daniel Vito, and this is in Ward 4, and Attorney Morris, I understand you changed this fairly significantly.
Well, if we could ask Neil to bring up the landscape plan, I think it's probably the color landscape plan is the best.
Well, let me stop you for a second. Did the plan change fairly significantly?
We moved the building and we reduced one of the units. That's all we did.
Have we seen the new plans?
You should have been in the packet that you received on Friday.
Did we get that included in our packet?
Neil, do we have that plan, L1? It's either the last plan in the architectural set or it's... That's not it. Is that it?
It said in the memo the planning department expects to receive the updated plan in a timely fashion to allow an appropriate review. Did you receive it in a timely fashion?
We received it today.
Today?
Correct. Actually, wait. We'll have information on this well before that.
Have you had an opportunity to carefully review this given that you received it a number of hours ago?
It was reviewed by another member of the staff.
And I believe that member has been in contact with Attorney Morris since the original public hearing, hashing out the details.
I prefer some light on that, Mr. Chair, if given the opportunity.
I want complete plans before us, okay? So I understand an updated plan was supposed to be presented in a timely fashion. It is presented to planning today. Have we seen the updated plan?
Why don't I start the hearing? For the record, my name is Terry Morris. I'm an attorney here representing New Newton, LLC.
Thank you. Attorney Morris, have we received the updated plan?
I believe you should have received the updated plan.
When?
We had a meeting with the neighbors on September 17th. Immediately thereafter, on that Monday, I called Michael Gruber, the senior planner who was overseeing the reports on this project. I advised him of the changes that had been agreed to at that meeting, specifically moving the building, doubling the setback, and reducing the number of units to 3. I said it would be followed up by a plan. We gave him a landscape plan. We gave him an L1 landscape plan prepared by architect Ron Jarrett, certainly more than 4 or 5 days ago, well in advance of the time that it would have been able to be put in your packet on Friday.
Colleagues, did you receive a plan? Has anybody received a plan for this?
All right.
I don't know what the role of the committee is, but I'll tell you, I'm not comfortable in a significant development act. Okay, been done before, it's happened to all of us. I'll defer to my colleagues, but I am not comfortable with acting on significant matters with new petition plans without having an opportunity to review them.
Perhaps you could let me explain what the plans are in detail. And you can decide then whether the changes are such that you would want to put it over.
What's the role of the committee on this? Do you want to go forward? Councilor Cody?
I understand there were meetings involved with Councilor Mahoney and possibly Amy. So, my understanding of the community with the neighborhood and all that stuff, which I heard back from, was there's a consensus, but I haven't seen the final plan myself, so I'm willing to listen to it.
Councilor Schwartz?
Actually, I'll defer to Councilor Santiello if she has something to say.
Councilor Santiello?
So I'm just checking my emails, and I got an email that was sent to at least the Ward 4 Alderman, and also to you. You're copied on this. On September 20th, that has a plan attached. I don't know if that's the final plan.
That's the plan that you reviewed today. And September 20th is a week ago.
Right. It's trying to download now. Sorry.
This says it was modified yesterday. Councilor Schwartz,
it was not modified. It was dated. It was not modified yesterday. It was dated in advance for this meeting.
Okay.
I think Councilor Sandler correctly identified the email. I sent it to the Ward 4 councilors, the neighbors, and yourself, Mr. Chairman, a week ago.
Is it the same plan that was submitted?
Yes.
Nothing changed.
The only thing that we did a landscape plan. We didn't have the engineered plan until more recently, but the engineered plan mirrors the landscape plan in every detail. That is the landscape plan you have in front of you.
Did my other colleagues get this plan? Councilor Carosley?
When I reviewed this material, I sent a note copied to you and Alexandra that for some reason the plans were missing from my packet. I also noted that the landscape plan was supposed to follow, but there wasn't anything in the packet. And I guess what you're trying to determine is, was that because it was not given to us by the planning department? Or
I'm just trying to, here's my problem, okay? I want us to be able to act on complete petitions when we come here. I expect that my colleagues do their homework on this committee. All right, and that means they get the materials in advance, they study them carefully, they come in here prepared to act. But we can't act if we get stuff in the last minute. So I'm going to let you go ahead right now, but I'm not prepared necessarily to take a vote this evening. Go ahead.
Fair enough. Thank you. As I said, Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Terry Morris. I'm an attorney with office at 57 Elm Road, Newtonville. I'm here representing the owners of 5052 Rose Street, New Newton, LLC. When last we were here in July 26th, I believe it was, in the middle of the summer, several people had suggested that we meet with the neighbors to go over the plans and postpone action until the fall, which where we find ourselves today. We finally were able to have that meeting with the assistance of Councilor Harney and the cooperation of several of the neighbors. We had the meeting at the site. It was attended by eight people, the two councils, Sangiolo and Harney, and six neighbors, abutters, four of whom had spoken previously at the hearing in July. We went over the plans. The plans that we showed them then had increased the setback from the nearest neighbor at 64 Rose Street from 12.5 to 25 feet. That distance is significant because that is the front setback requirement for old lots in this particular district. That was well received by the neighbors. I think the councils who were present can verify that. In addition, into moving the building, subsequent discussion, we agreed to reduce the number of units, reduce the two-unit building to a single-family dwelling. The net result was that the increase in open space increased from 59.5% to 66%. And I think, more importantly, I would point to the Planning Department memo that was produced in July that talked about, that summarized the immediate neighborhood. It said that there were 11 two-family and seven single-family homes within 300 feet of the site, and the average unit per unit lot area was 5,696 square feet by 5,700. In reducing this project from 4 to 3, we have increased that ratio to 6,440. So we've actually increased the average per unit lot density for this site. So it is at least consistent with the neighborhood, if not slightly above. So that's really it, Mr. Chairman. We eliminated one parking space. I think the elimination of the unit was well received because people were concerned about the number of cars that might be entering and exiting the site. Just by way of illustration, there's the 25-foot setback from the nearest neighbor. In addition to that, we created a much more substantially, heavily landscaped planting area along that entire lot line shared with that neighbor. And we continue to basically believe that this petition represents the best effort to improve the site while at the same time adding a modest increase to the housing stock, one unit, and eliminating considerable asphalt as evidenced by the increase in the open space. Just with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll conclude my remarks and entertain any questions.
Thank you, Attorney Morris. Planning Department want to weigh in here?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can summarize the changes to the plan as well, summarized by Mr. Attorney Morris. The number of units has been reduced from 2 to 1, gives them more in keeping square foot per lot with the surrounding neighborhood. The increase in open space and the moving of the proposed structure away from the neighbor at that southern lot line.
Councilor Harney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have to agree with Councilor Sangiolo in when she stated that we, and I'm trying to find the email here, we were involved with discussions with the neighborhood and with Attorney Morris, and we actually had the owner of the property come, and we had a long meeting at the site. Prior to that, we had a meeting at one of the neighbor's houses as well. So there was a lot of discussion about this property, and one of the neighbors is here, I believe, looks across at this house. So we had a very good discussion. One of the first issues was the proximity of
to the property line of 64. The abutting property.
Actually, 62 is the nearest.
64
is the nearest.
And it was that property owner was at the meeting, was at both meetings, and was satisfied, was happy that the setback was increased to 25 feet from the lot line. And the way the buildings are set up, it doesn't even come totally beside the house. It's set back. So he was happy to have it. And there was a consensus among the neighbors, the abutters and the neighbors, that they would rather see a single house than another two-family house. So the owner of the property was very agreeable to do it. And when we wrapped up the meeting at the site, it seemed like the neighborhood was happy, the owner was happy. Of course, the attorney was happy. So, I mean, you know, we had a very good meeting, and I have to say that it was quite a treat to have an owner of a property actually come, being very involved in the discussions with the neighbors, and it was refreshing that, you know, profit was not the only motive here, that he was willing to work with the neighborhood to come up with a project that everybody seems to be happy with, and maybe Alderman Sanjolo might disagree with me, but that was my sense of what happened. And so when we got the packet on Friday, I was away, but I looked at this, and the memo and the proposed board order all talked about this particular plan. It talked about the single house. It talked about, so I had just assumed that the plan had been submitted, because we had seen it previously in emails to the neighborhood group and to those Ward 4 counselors. So, I mean, it was a wrong assumption on my part, I guess, but
my concern is a matter of process.
Well, yeah, I
want to make sure that all our colleagues have an opportunity to get materials in advance so they can consider things properly.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I think we do our job best. I appreciate that you obviously have had some opportunity to look at this more.
No, we're satisfied, but I'll defer to the will of the committee, because I understand the concerns that other committee members have raised. So, but in terms of me, I'm satisfied.
Thank you very much. Councilor Crosby.
So I don't want to be in the business of assigning blame, but it certainly sounds like the planning department had the materials. Otherwise, how could they have done the review? We could, if it's the will of the committee, approve this subject to second call and make sure that we get all the documentation to confirm what we're being told today. Just a thought. I do have one question. How large is what is now Unit 3? We've gone from having 4 units to 3 units. Could someone speak to that?
It's about 2,200 square feet. I have the architect here. He can answer that question.
So the building has not changed in size or mass at all?
No.
But it is only 2,200 square
feet? No.
Okay.
Are you all set, Councilor Crosby?
Yes, thank you.
Councilor Schwartz and Lang.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the comments that colleagues from Ward 4 made about their efforts to work with the petitioner and the neighbors to really work out a compromise, which sounds like we might have here. I think that the process point that you made, though, is important for me, at least, to explain why I'm going to abstain at the meeting tonight, and I'll review the plans when I get them, because unfortunately, unlike some others, I was not copied on that email. I don't remember seeing it, and then I just checked through my email archives, which are hot large, but I don't see it either. And to be honest, I think that with all fairness to the planning department, their memo has actually refers to two specific plans. One, it says on the second page, on September 23rd, the petitioner submitted a set of modified architectural drawings and a landscape plan reflecting those proposed changes. The petitioner has indicated that a revised site plan also reflecting the changes will be submitted prior to the meeting on Tuesday,
right.
September 27th. So the site plan is, I think, what we're seeing up there. That was submitted earlier today, clearly. The architectural drawings, which sounds like they were submitted last Friday, did not end up in my packet either. So that's what I'd like to look at, and I'll peruse those. I do feel that this project sounds like it's improved since we last talked about it, so I certainly am encouraged by that. I guess what, on the substance point, though, what I'd like the planning department to maybe talk a little bit more about, they mentioned in their memo that while they're supportive of the proposed modifications, they continue to have some concern with the proposal as it would add a new detached single dwelling to a lot that already includes a non-conforming two-family dwelling in a single residence district. So, separate from the actual square footage that you guys refer to, can you elaborate on those concerns that you have as far as putting a third unit on a single-family lot?
It's, the neighborhood is a single residence three zone, and it's, if approved, the project would have three dwelling units on one lot, which is something that's not in keeping with the neighborhood. So that's where that concern comes from.
Can you speak a little bit to what we do in those circumstances mm-hmm. in the past, or as far as, not precedent necessarily, but with that concern, what normally is the planning department's recommendation?
I think it's on a case-by-case basis where the petitioner has to, it's the burden's on him to make the proposal in keeping with the neighborhood, not just in terms of financial regulations, but also the look from the street and how it meshes with the streetscape, if you will. So I think the addition of the third unit, while is on a single residence three lot, the concern is that it's the density is more in keeping with the neighborhood, but it's just the another non-conforming use or an extension of a non-conforming use in the neighborhood.
And just one last question on that. Sure. Would the size of the third unit make a difference in that calculation, or I mean, that assessment? Like if it was a smaller size, would that make it more in keeping with the density, or
I think the
deal with the community?
I think the density is closer to what the neighborhood reflects now. Depending on how smaller that third unit would be, maybe that would bring it more in line with the neighborhood. I'm not sure how far the petitioner would be willing to go or how far the petitioner would need to go to. I don't know if there's a golden number that the petitioner could reach in order to make it optimal. I don't know if that number exists. Yeah. All we can go by is kind of the averages and things like that.
I don't want to put you on the spot. I know you might not have been the one who was doing this particular petition, but are you aware of any conversations between planning and the petitioner as far as reducing the size of this structure? It sounds like it's the same size as the previous two-family was recommended or was being proposed.
I have not had those conversations, no.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Sangiola.
Just to respond to Councilor Schwartz, I believe it is the same size, and I think that was a compromise made with the neighborhood, that the structure would remain the same size, but just less dense. I share your concerns about how we're extending a non-conforming use by basically, instead of subdividing the lot, which they can't unfortunately do because they're maybe 1,000 square foot shy, it still remains a very large lot. And in my view, I think using that space for a housing unit is always a good thing. Particularly if you have neighbors who also think it's a good thing. And I do believe that 2,200 may be a little bigger than what some of the other houses are in the immediate neighborhood, but I don't think it's that much bigger, especially if you go through the lot. And I think the layout was good. I had asked planning and also law today about this, whether we had done this in the past, the extension of a non-conforming use. And I was surprised because I totally forgot that we did that for Turtle Lane. That was, I had forgotten that we, instead of having the petitioner, instead of asking for a zoning change, which I maybe that should have been the case, but they didn't. They were able to add the 16 units to that parcel by extending a non-conforming use.
Councilor Schwartz, do you want to ask a question or respond to the chair?
If I recall correctly, there was a proposed change in the zone, and then that was withdrawn because of opposition. That's why we allowed them to do that.
Okay. Can I just inquire of Councilor Santiello? So is it your view that the case is made for the extra unit here because this is a relatively large lot, almost enough to have two separate lots, but 600-700 feet shy of that? Is that the gist of it?
Yeah.
And in your mind, I'm just trying to probe a little bit, in your mind that justifies having the extra housing unit here?
Yeah.
Okay, understood. Councilor Harney, Councilor Lennon, I then want to make sure we get some members of the public who wish to be heard. Go ahead, please.
Briefly, in addition to what's been discussed, there's a history on this property that there was a large barn, or garage, or barn set back on the property that was used over the years for, I think there was a beverage distributed, not alcoholic, you know, soft drink, beverages distributed from that property. Landscapers used the property. At one point in time, there was a lot of activity coming in and out of there with one of the larger landscaping companies that was disturbing the neighborhood somewhat. But where the house is now set, it's a single family. It looks like a carriage house. It looks a lot nicer, and it's set back. And this is an interesting shaped lot as well. So I think that a single family residence fits in there nicely, better than another two family, because there would have been more cars, more activity, more people in and out of there. So I think this is a better use.
Thank you. Councilor Lennon?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to echo the comments of Councilor Crossley in terms of the process piece. I think that something was obviously submitted, or a couple things were submitted in order to do the memo. I know we're talking a lot about process in this committee. I think this is something that maybe we bring it up at our end of October meeting to talk a little bit about, you know, specifically identifying what's supposed to be coming to us, when, how, where. I also just want to say I agree with the point about second call. If we don't get what we need to see prior to that, then I think we're well within our action date, and we could always move it over 2 weeks. But I'll also defer to the will of the committee. If, as I mentioned, we're working very hard on process. Procedurally, if folks don't want to move forward, I'll support that too. But somewhere from the neighborhood meeting, which was just held on the 17th to now, there was some sort of review. So I'm comfortable with that, but I think assigning this as subject to second call would be a wise decision.
Councilor Lipoff?
For me personally, reviewing the initial petition, reading the planning memo and not having the plan, and just turning around and taking a look at that plan within 20 seconds, it all comes together. It depends on how complicated these things are, and this really is not super complicated. We can all take a look at that, and that combined with the neighborhood comment tonight and my agreement with Councilor Sangiolo that this lot is quite large, and I think one more unit is not a problem. I'm ready to act on this tonight.
I'll add my opinion, but I want to hear from members of the public. I'll be willing to vote on this evening. I will abstain, and I will ask that be subject to second call for the reasons Councilor Schwartz stated. I don't want to debate this evening why we didn't get everything in a timely fashion. For the benefit of the members of the public, we are talking about this as we work on an ongoing review of our land use process. And one of the things I'm going to suggest we all consider is, if we don't have materials in our packet in a complete form by Friday, we do not act on petitions, period. We're not going to hold you to that standard this evening, but that's something I think we need to think about, so we have some very clear rules here that everybody can understand and follow. With that, is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Sir, come on forward, please state your name and address.
Michael Wardell, 334 Walcott Street. I came and spoke at the previous meeting in July, and I was in attendance at both the neighborhood meeting and the meeting with the developer, the attorney, and the architect. So first I just wanted to affirm what Councillor Harney and Santillo said. It was a very positive meeting, and we did reach a successful agreement to make adjustments to the plan. My intention was really here to come here tonight and affirm under the assumption that you guys would be moving forward under some proposal, and just want to make sure that any comments, conditions, or planning considerations were heard. We were sharing some things in email, so I want to make sure they're called out. But generally, this is going to be an improvement on what the developers already improved the property. This will be a further improvement of the property. It will improve the neighborhood. It will improve my personal sight lines out of my kitchen window, and it will be a contribution to the neighborhood. The setbacks, I think they've made adjustments to their plans. I don't know if in the planning memos there's talk about the sidewalk being repaired or replaced once construction is complete, the retaining wall, greenery and trees. I know there's some things plotted. I don't know what ensures that that's actually executed, but I'll talk about that. We did have a restriction on the property for 6 vehicles under the previous owners. I think 6 is fair for what's going in here for 3 units. I don't know if we can set conditions like that, but 6 vehicles is something I think would be fair for 3 units. And really, that is the extent of my comments.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else who wishes to be heard on this petition? I see none. I'm going to entertain a motion to close the public hearing. Councilor Harney, it's your ward. So moved. All in favor of closing the public hearing? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Nothing. The public hearing is closed. Do I have a motion to act on this petition? Councilor Harney.
Chairman?
Would you do that subject to second call?
Sure.
Let me just explain what that means to members of the public in case you're wondering. We typically take up our business in the city council in 2 stages. First call are items that are considered more routine. The council, they're read into the record and the councilors vote on them as a group. Items where one or more councilors request some discussion or, as in this case, a request to make sure that we get more information are put on a second call where the item is presented by the chair of the individual committee, the item is then discussed, and the item is then voted on by a roll call vote individually. The purpose of putting this on second call is so we can make sure that we have sufficient information, the information we've been talking about, in time to be able to properly vote on the item. Okay? So we have a motion by Councilor Harney. Do we have a draft order, Mr. Cronin?
Yes, we do, Mr. Chairman.
These are our findings.
Correct.
I guess my comment from the first finding, I for one am not comfortable with the word sensitively designed. I view that as really subjective. What may be in the eye, it's all in the eye of the beholder. So anything else for number one? Councilor Sangiolo?
Did you want to add anything about saving the historic structure?
That's fine with me. Anybody else want to add to that? Councilor Harney, you comfortable with that? All right. Could you add something in there, Mr. Cronin, about preserving historic structure? All right. Next, turning to 2. Let's go back to 2. You comfortable with that finding? Okay, go on to 3 if we could, please. Does three cover the, just to pose a question, does three cover the concern that this is just slightly under what would be allowed us to divide this into two? Or do we need to be more explicit here? I'm seeing a no, leave it. That's fine. Anybody else? Okay, let's go to four. Is everyone comfortable with that? And then five or six are more routine findings. Okay, any comments on the findings? Yes, Councilor Santiago.
Is that typical in four, as they are expected to produce conditions? Is that typical language that we have been putting in our border now?
Councilor Crosby, could you speak into the microphone, please?
I don't know what produce conditions mean. I was going to ask the same question. What conditions are we producing? Are we talking about physical things?
How about expected to result in a structure, result in structures similar to and consistent with those already commonly present? Would that work?
You could just eliminate to produce conditions and just say expected to, produce a built environment. That covers kind of everything. It's either consistent with those already in the neighborhood or not. So we're.
Does that work for folks? I'm seeing a bunch of nods. Okay, if you can make the change. Thank you, Councilman Sangiello and Crosby. Anything else? All right, let's go to the conditions, please. Okay. Anything on leaving aside the plan referencing? Go back if you would, please. I don't think we finished that. For the one in the landscape plan, does that work for folks? Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, Councilor Sangiello, excuse me.
So I don't see it up here, but there was discussion about the repair of the retaining wall. Would that go into the part of the landscape plan?
I would make it separate. Is that a condition, Attorney Morris, that your clients agreed to?
I'm informed by our project architect that notation is already included in the landscape plan.
I'm sorry, the notations in the landscape?
The reconstruction of the wall.
Well, why don't we just be explicit and put it in the order so there's no ambiguity about it?
Belt and suspenders.
Does that work?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Other conditions, Mr. Cronin?
No, that's it, Mr. Chairman.
All right. So essentially, these are very standard conditions with two caveats about fencing and dedicated screening, three, the retaining wall, and then the driveway apron and the sidewalks. Okay? Councilor Schwartz?
Sorry, I wasn't able to find this on the planning department's plans because everything had been updated, so it didn't show the previous plan, but wasn't there a concern about the amount of paving and part of the, I guess, improvement of this new plan is that there's one fewer parking space? Can you show us on the landscape plan where that came out from, where that would have been?
I'm afraid I do not have the original proposed site plan, only the second site plan showing the one parking space.
Do you remember where it was, or does anybody?
Because
that was a concern that was raised at the previous public hearing.
I can answer the question. The building was closer to the side lot line. That was one thing we moved. And we had a two-car carport between these two buildings. We reduced that to one open-air parking space, and that allowed us to move the building further away from this abutter.
I see. So the carport is gone. The building is closer to the left, and there's one fewer spot to the left, so there's less pavement.
That is correct.
Great. And then just to point out where the retaining wall is that was referenced recently.
Running along the back of sidewalk.
Sorry, where?
On Rose Street? On Rose Street.
Oh, okay, in the front. So that parking, those two parking spaces that are in the foreground, off of the bituminous, yeah, those are not on a hill or anything.
Those what kind of conflict?
They're not on a hill.
They're actually buried into the side of the hill. There's a knoll when you come down. There's a knoll, and they actually purposely locate those spaces there so they'd be less visible from the street.
I see. So that it actually, the property actually goes, it's higher there, and it goes down when it gets to the driveway.
So that's
got it. Thank you so much.
Yep, okay. Thank you. Are we all set? Councilor Fangiola.
So there was the only other comment made by Mr. Wardell about limiting the number of cars, and I don't know whether that's something that can be done or not.
What's your position on that? I believe, I don't speak for Michael himself, but I believe that refers to the reduction in the required number of spaces from 8 to 6, because you need 2 spaces per unit. That's 7 space. We do have 4 spaces in tandem within this garage. The 7 spaces are available for parking to ensure that provide people could park on site rather than on the street. So consider visitor parking.
The committee has concerns about that. I actually think it's good to have parking off the street, so that I view that as a plus for what it's worth.
Okay, questions? We have a motion by Councilor Harney. All in favor of the motion? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed? Abstentions? There are 2 abstentions. We will take this up on second call a week from this evening. Thank you. All right, next. We move on to 263-16, a special permit for a rear lot subdivision at 100 Christina Street. Irene Ostrovsky, this is in Ward 8. You have this one again, Attorney Morris?
I do.
You have a very busy evening. Why don't you tee it up for us if you want
to drive on the Max Dover with the opera?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Terry Morris. I'm an attorney with offices at 57 Elm Road in Newton, and I'm here representing the owners of the property at 100 Christina Street. Irene Ostrovsky and Eugene Kosinski, who are here present this evening, are my clients. And I wanted to introduce them to you. Oftentimes I'm here representing developers, but I'm often pleased when I can represent homeowners. You will see that the reasons for this petition are that they have a significantly large family, and that family is going to increase by one more within, hopefully not tonight, but soon thereafter. And in addition, they have elderly parents. Irene has elderly parents who they anticipate someday soon they will come to live with them. So they were looking for a piece of property in Newton that they could afford to build a new single-family home for themselves, and they did find such a property on Christina Street. It has approximately 31,000 square feet. I know you've read the memo, so I won't have to go into all the details. So this is really a heavily personal investment for them as a family. We're here asking for real life subdivision, and I would say that one of the benefits of this is that the combined FAR for this site, we know that real life subdivisions purposely have a lower floor area ratio of 0.24 for real lots because there's a concern about the impact upon putting a house in what might be somebody else's backyard. We're pleased to report that this project complies in every way, both lots, with all of the applicable frontage, height, setbacks, lot coverage, and open space requirements. And in fact, the FAR is
at 0.28, at the compliance FAR for the site was less than the maximum of 0.41 allowed in the district. And the house itself on the back lot was at 0.24. The planning department notices, identifies some elements that you take into account when you evaluate rear lot subdivisions, and those are the relative heights of, or ridge heights of properties surrounding the rear lot subdivision. I take note that the planning department has noted in their memorandum that the differences in ridge heights here are largely attributed to and a product of the partial significant different existing grades. And but yet the ridge heights are mitigated by the considerable distance from adjacent properties. The homes would not exceed the by right allowable heights and floor areas for their respective lots. And the planning department goes on to comment that they are designed in keeping with the general scale architecture of the more recently constructed existing dwellings in the surrounding neighborhood. I think perhaps the strongest recommendation is found near the end of the report, where it says that the subject property is located in a transitional space where the single residence 2 district meets the adjacent mixed-use district that contains large commercial and warehousing or manufacturing buildings in excess of 70,000 square feet in floor area. The lot next door, which contains 3 units that were built under a 40B comprehensive permit, is similarly sized at 33,000 square feet, and it contains, as I say, structures that in the aggregate contain 10,200 square feet of floor area. So, in summary, I guess we would say that we would hope that you would look upon this as being something that is consistent with the goals and objectives of the regulations that govern rear lot subdivisions, and take into account the needs of the petitioners in this case who are doing it to accommodate certain family concerns. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I will conclude my remarks, as I know you would like me to keep them brief, and entertain any questions from the committee.
Thank you. Questions? Well, you know what, before we do, let me hear from the planning department first, excuse me. Planning department, and I'll entertain questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The request for relief, as Attorney Moore stated, is to allow the creation of a rear lot. When looking at a project such as this, there are certain criteria the City Council has to consider. Those criteria are: the site is an appropriate location for the two proposed one-family dwellings in a single residence 3 district. The proposed rear lot will not adversely affect the neighborhood. There would be no nuisance or serious hazards to vehicles or pedestrians. Access to the site over streets is appropriate in the types of number of vehicles involved. And as Attorney Morris also stated, there are more criteria when specifically looking at the creation of the rear lot. Those criteria are whether the proposed buildings or structures exceed the respective average height of abutting residential buildings and structures used for accessory purposes. The scale of proposed buildings or structures and related to adjacent residential buildings and structures used for accessory purposes and in relation to the character of the neighborhood. Topographic differentials, if any, between proposed buildings or structures and adjacent residential buildings and any structures used for accessory purposes. Proposed landscaping and screening. And this is the more criteria: adequacy of vehicular access, including but not limited to fire and other public safety equipment, with emphasis on facilitating common driveways, whether any historic or conservation public benefit is provided for advance by the proposed development, the siting of the proposed buildings or structures with reference to abutting residential buildings or any structures used for accessory purposes, and the impact of proposed lighting on abutting properties. This is a quick area of the subject property, highlighted in yellow. You can see it's right outside the Meeting Street commercial corridor. This is the site plan. So the structure on the left is the proposed front lot on Christina Street. There is a shared driveway leading back to the creation of the rear lot. And there is a swimming pool at the rear lot for orientation purposes. This was modified because of the question that was also in the packets about the straightness of the rear lot line to provide frontage for the rear lot. So this is what ultimately was decided on to create frontage for that rear lot. So the front lot is what's above and in between that red line. So thank you. This is the landscape plan. The petitioner has proposed a number of plantings to provide privacy for the two lots and from the residential properties. These are the proposed elevations of the new structure in the front lot. You can see the shared driveway will be to the right of the new structure and the garage is underneath the structure. More elevations of the front lot. And these are the elevations of the proposed rear lot. And I'll try to answer any questions as best I can.
Okay, Councilor Lennon.
Neil, just to clarify, the issue with the lot line has been addressed adequately.
Right, correct.
Okay, just clarifying that.
Councilor Lippoff?
That was my question as well. I have a lot to say about this, but really no direct questions, so I guess I'll wait till after.
Yeah, let's get questions out first. Councilor Crosley?
So it's interesting that this project came up after we had a lengthy discussion about the value of engineering reports to our decision making. I thought this was an interesting test. This is a very challenging site, and it was interesting to read that the engineering department has some concerns about the location of stormwater, the design of the stormwater management system. And not that that's something that we need to particularly know about. But there's something missing from the engineering report in my mind. And this is the kind of thing in the future I'd love to have sort of commentary about. Because of the severe changes in grade, the adjacent site, which was a can-do project, as I recall, features an extraordinarily large retaining wall. It's about 17 feet high, as my memory serves, at its highest point. It's not on your property. But the condition of it is something I would like to be cognizant of when there's going to be major construction so close to it and how that's going to be overseen, protected, studied, and so forth. I know that I remember that that wall had to be engineered and improved and so forth at the time in order to allow for that development. And but what was on the other side of it, what it's retaining, is this lot. So I'm not sure what I'm asking for, but it's just something I would like to have professional advice on. The buildings are fairly close to that lot line. I don't know exactly where the retaining wall is in proximity to these buildings, but I just think it's something to be very aware of. So I guess I'd like to ask, and we don't have structural engineers on board, so maybe the thing is that we want to have an assessment and a monitoring of the condition here. But I would like to our engineering department to weigh in on it. I have no trouble with rear lot subdivisions. This is certainly a very large lot. It is taking away, of course, a lot of
forest. And so I understand that the petitioner is proposing to meet the terms of the tree ordinance. I'm always a little bit concerned, and I'd love the planning department to weigh in and or have the tree warden weigh in or whoever it is you use. I'm always a little concerned when you take out an enormous amount of trees and you replace them with the same number of caliper inches on the same site, and the ability of the, it looks like a beautiful landscape plan, but there's a lot of very large specimens here being put in and small. So, you know, are they going to be able to live on this site? So I'm concerned about overplanting and then also planting near that retaining wall. I think I'll leave it at that for now. Those are just the really specific, smaller questions. I don't know if the size and scale of the dwellings is the large one in the back is very much larger than everything else in the area, but I'd have to really think about the topography and so forth, and I'm not sure. There's a lot of language in there that talks about it being at such a much higher elevation that it's really the elevation that's making the building prominent, not the size of the building itself. But my questions really have to do with the construction of this and how it's going to be overseen. Thanks.
Madam Counselor, if I might suggest, I'm looking at the proposed board order, and it has a standard condition relative to a construction management plan. And item 7H, condition 7H, talks about things that the construction management plan will address, and it lists now seven such things, including site safety, stability, identification of building materials, staging of the project, impact on abutting properties. So I think we might expand in that language to cover the issue that you're talking about.
Other counselors for the moment? Counselor Schwartz.
So, I also don't have a problem with rear lot subdivisions. I guess what I'm struggling with, I'll just be honest, on this particular project is the list of considerations that are noted in the memo for rear lot subdivisions that include the scale of the proposed building structures in relation to the adjacent residential buildings, the topographic differentials, if any, between the proposed buildings and structures with adjacent residential buildings, and the siting of the proposed buildings or structures with reference to abutting residential buildings. I think that, you know, those are three areas in which this particular project seems to raise at least some concerns in my mind as far as the size of the structures, noted in a number of places in the memo that these would be the largest buildings in the area, as well as the height differentials that were alluded to by Councillor Crossley. So those are concerns I have. I don't think we do a lot of rear lot subdivisions, at least not in my experience, so I'm not sure just what weight to give those considerations, but those are serious considerations that I have. And then separately, well, in relation to that, I'm interested in the planning department points out that, you know, the heights are pretty high, especially on the topography, but there's a certain distance between the abutter property, and in some cases it's 50-something feet, in some cases 200 feet. I'm not sure what to make of that distance, whether that changes the concern or not as far as the height and scale. So that's one set of concerns I have. The other are just more in regards to the natural vegetative kind of, not screening, but actually current forest there that is going to have to come down to do a lot of this building, and what perhaps the petitioner can do to try to maintain as much of the natural canopy that already exists. It was noted that there are some very large mature trees, and I wonder if we can maintain some of those. And then finally, I noticed on the elevations that there's obviously attics on both of these buildings, and I was wondering what we didn't see. And one of the set of plans. We have the layout, but for one of the buildings we don't, of the attic. And I was wondering if you could provide that as well as what the heights are in the attic.
To my understanding, I do have my client who can speak to that. He was kind of hands-on in designing the house because they are going to live there. I do know that the computation of the FAR took into account the formula that is used to calculate space above the second floor or attic space. So I do know that it is compliant. I don't know what else you would like me to provide. We'd be happy to give it to you. What specifically were you looking for?
Well, I know that the ridge height was something that was pointed out by the planning department, so I'm just curious. The ridge height might be driven by the need to put 9.5 feet in the attic, and if that's the case, that's important to me.
No, the height of the attic tells yourself.
So,
your name and address, please, sir?
Eugene Krasunsky, husband of a petitioner, Irene Krasunsky.
Sorry.
We both right now live in Robin, and we live in Newton for a good 12, 14 years. Now, the two houses both have the rear house has an attic that has a, I think 6.8 feet in height. The attic in the front house is below 7, I don't remember the number, but I know it's not reachable from the second floor. There is no second floor stair to the, and I know that it's completely not supposed to count as it relates to the FAR by virtue of its ridge height and the shape of the area below the ridge height. Now, as far as the elevation is concerned and the height of both houses, both of them are below 36 feet. And the primary difference is the existing height of these houses and the neighboring houses is the fact that the lot itself is a good 15 feet higher than the street. So the street elevation is 110, and if you look at the elevation of the front lot, it's around 130 right now. We're actually proposing to shave 4.5 feet from the top of that hill in order to reduce the height. So the structure itself that exists right now on this lot is the same height as the proposed structure in the front.
The single structure that's on
the single structure that exists in the place of a front structure today is approximately the same height as what we're actually proposing there.
And the back structure, how does that compare with the current back structure?
That structure is higher than the back structure that is have a lower elevation than the front.
Okay. And then my question also for you would then be, you said that one of the two structures does not even have access to the attic as far as the stairway?
Correct. That's the front structure.
So in the second one that does have a staircase to the attic, is it your intention to make that living space?
No, absolutely not. It's a primarily storage. I don't know how much you want to hear about the current story, where we live and how much storage we have. We actually use in the garage. There's many lots for the storage, so we want to make sure that the storage.
The only reason why I ask that is it seems like there's a bank of windows on both sides that are
for the
full sash windows.
Oh, primarily for the aesthetic reasons.
Okay.
For the aesthetic reasons.
For aesthetic.
Yeah.
So those are my concerns. I'm very interested in hearing more.
Thank you. All right. Mr. Chairman, I wonder, even though I did conclude my remarks, I wonder if I could try to answer the council's questions.
Sure, go ahead.
Real life subdivision. Thank you. I think it's important to remind people that the real lot, the provisions in the ordinance that govern real lot subdivision have evolved over time. Back in the 1950s, you could do it by simply filing a plan with the engineer's office. And then we introduced a special permit requirement, but that didn't deal with the houses that were built there. It just dealt with the shape of the lot and access to it. And then more recently, of course, there was an effort to eliminate it totally, and the compromise was to adopt the current set of regulations. If you look at what was a catalyst for these changes, you will see across the city, most of those real life subdivisions occur in certain neighborhoods of the city, across the northern part of the city, particularly in West Newton and Avondale, Cherry Street, and Councilor Cody knows, those deep lots, and there was concern about literally putting a house in somebody else's backyard because of the proximity. And on the north side of town, those houses are close to one another. But here, we're over on Road 8, and if you look at the map that was attached to the So the plan of our amendment, you can see that that kind of spatial consideration does not come into play here. That's it, Mr. Chairman. Thanks.
Great. All right. I'm going to take comment from the public at this point. Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Come on up, sir, please. Gentleman here, and then, oh, ma'am, over here. Sir, over there. Go ahead.
Ted Logan, 30th Sherman Street in Hounds, a butter to this project. It's up on a hill, and it does obviously most of the houses there are ranch houses. So this is kind of, you know, out of sorts. But the main thing I wanted to mention was I knew nothing about this until I started getting letters and stuff in the mail. The recent most notice from the contractor said he's going to be coming in and I don't have to do in front of me to tear the new house down. Before it was even project is approved. And it would have been nice if the people, if they called as they did to the previous house builder, if they called the neighbors together and talked with the neighbors. Had a neighborhood type thing and say, this is, you know, what we'd like to do with the folks. Do you have any concerns? It's something that we can take care of? Nothing. It was just, you know, blindsided. So it's probably fine houses and all that. I'm not doubting that, but it's just the way that it was done. Now, I don't know if that's protocol. We should do that, but anyway, it was done.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am, come on up, please. Pardon? Oh, sir, could you just give me, sir, could you state your address again, please, for the record? I'm not sure we got that.
36 Roland Street.
Roland Street?
Roland, R-O-L-A-N-D.
Thank you, sir. All right, come on up, ma'am, please.
Come up. Oh, I'm sorry.
You
said come up. I thought you wanted me to come up.
No.
Good evening. My name is Jennifer Williams, 8 Bernard Street. Okay, my concern is parking. I've never been up to look at the property. So when people have guests in that house, the prior owner, during holidays or if they were having an event at their home, people would park on Bernard Street and then walk up the driveway. Okay, and I understand that it's not a private street, it's a public road and you can park on it. And no problem with that. But now they are talking about adding a second home. And on holidays, I can have anywhere between 3 and 4 cars parked in front of my house. And the thing is, I also have family that comes to my house, and so do the other neighbors across the street from me and beside me have neighbors. So that's my primary concern. Will there be adequate parking up there for when they have visitors? Because as it stands now, people park in front of my home and then walk up the driveway to the house. And this happens not every day, but it happens frequently enough where I can have anywhere from 2 to 3 cars parked in front of my home all day. And that was just my primary concern. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Is there anybody else who wishes to be heard on this petition at this time? Come on up, please, sir. Good evening.
Jim Murphy, 43 Rowan Street. We are the next property at Worthy Abutter. We're, you know, not necessarily opposed to the, you know, to construction or the division in and of itself, but I do want to echo what Mr. Logan said, that it's hard to know how that's going to impact us, you know, particularly since the second house would be, you know, very large and potentially hovering above our house. Or the backyard, I don't know which, and I don't do well with elevations and architectural drawings, and so it's very difficult to digest in just a few minutes.
A question for Attorney Morris. Have you had an opportunity to meet with the neighbors?
We do not, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Councilor Schwartz?
I guess that adds a second question to mine. I'll do the second question first. Is there any intent, is there any planned meeting coming up? Or is there an intention to do a neighborhood meeting if this is not voted tonight?
Up until now, we had no knowledge of this, but if that's the will of the committee, we're certainly happy to do that.
No knowledge that we like that?
No knowledge of that, of concerns.
Well, let me ask, were the plans shared, did anyone make any effort to talk to the neighbors, to share the plans with them, to have those discussions?
I guess that's a no. And my second question is, given the concerns about the ridge lines that the planning department had, and now this, you know, the concerns that I raised as well as others about how this will look, is there any way that we could get elevations that show the surrounding properties and the kind of relative heights?
Intersection?
I guess that's what it's called. Yeah, sure.
I mean, I got the property engineer. I know there's a produce. I don't know what it would take given the topography in this site, but we can look into that.
I guess just even an estimate.
It's a legitimate question.
A sense, because that is kind of something that's been raised. Thank you.
Legitimate question.
All right. My sense is that we're not, Councilor Lane.
I suspect we're not taking a vote on this tonight. So I suspect, as this committee has done on numerous occasions, is to ask that the petitioner hold a neighborhood meeting. I don't think that's out of the question.
It's not required, Attorney Morris. How about it's strongly encouraged?
I hear you, Mr. Chairman.
Good. I for one am not ready to vote this evening. There's a lot here. I think planning department, Mr. Cronin, you've heard some significant questions raised by Attorney Crosley and Attorney Counselor Crosley. That's not a promotion, okay? Counselor Schwartz, I share some of those concerns. I was very concerned when I read the engineering memo about some of the design here. I don't want us to approve something that's not going to be able to be built properly. So my intent is to enter. We're going to hold this item. I think the plan will be to put it on for our last meeting in October, if that works for everybody. Try to act in it then. I would expect you'd
we'll reach out to the people who actually live through it here this evening, at the very least.
I think it would be helpful if you made a concerted effort to reach out to certainly the two abutters that you have here, but also to anybody else who's in the immediate area, at least to let them know what you're doing. I think that would be helpful.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Councilor Crosley?
Yes, thank you. So it doesn't have to be now, but you mentioned, Attorney Morris, that you've satisfied all of the
dimensional controls
and the other conditions that are, maybe you didn't say this, there's other conditions we're supposed to consider.
Other factors that you're supposed to take into account. We believe we've met those, yes.
And so there's a couple of them, one in particular that I'd like to understand how you have addressed. And I know that it's not required to meet all of these conditions. I understand that. But it says, whether any historic or conservation public benefit is provided or advanced by the proposed development. And
are you reading from the ordinance or the report?
The report.
Which page?
3.
Okay.
And I think people have already talked about topographic differentials, if any, between proposed buildings or structures and adjacent residential buildings. And any way of sort of further explaining or illustrating that. That's really it. And
okay.
So it's just really about it's a contextual thing. So that I'd like to see discussed a little bit more.
We can expand upon that.
Okay.
Thank you for that direction.
Sure.
Okay. All right, Councilor Lipoff.
Yeah, I think it'd be great if you talk to the people that are here from the neighborhood, reach out to a few more, especially, have you heard from the people from Chalamont?
No. Have you?
I think we got a letter. I think they were selling.
Councilor Cody told me he had received an email. Did you find that?
An email, yeah. Yeah, so I think you should, there's two houses that are about at the rear. You should talk to them as well.
Yep.
You know, I'm available as the counselor from the ward if you want me to come and join you or keep me informed, whatever you want.
Most definitely. Thank you for that offer. We will take you up on it. All right. Councilor Schwartz?
This is more a question for the planning department. I had not read it, but I just quickly scanned through the engineering memo, and I didn't see anything about the driveway as far as the slope, and that's been raised by the abutters about how people don't drive up it because of the step, assuming because of the steepness of it. So can we just get any feedback from them as far as how that affects not only potential for people not parking up there in the winter, but also fire access? Thanks.
All right. Can I have a motion to hold Councilor Lipoff as moved? Of course. Go ahead.
Sorry, I forgot this. I don't have a sieve, I guess. So when I was looking at the floor plans, and I actually hate to bring this up after last night's meeting, but with rear lot subdivisions, I'm not sure how the rule would apply, but on its face it would apply, and it has to do with the garage ordinance that was recently adopted and is under reconsideration.
It falls in one of the exceptions because the garage doors exceed the distance from the street. You'll notice in that last one, I looked this up, it was called out.
From the street. Not the new front lot line.
Right, it's the new, right.
Interesting, okay, just
it's from, it does say the street, not the lot line.
Okay, thank you.
All right, a motion by Councilor Lipoff to hold, all in favor of holding. 8-0, this item is held. We will put this on tentatively for the last Tuesday in October, but any interested party should check with the clerk's office to make sure they know the exact date, because we have to do some scheduling, okay? Thank you all very much.
Thank you, everybody.
286-16, special petition to further increase a non-conforming setback at 115 Wabin Street. John Mulligan, this is in Ward 1. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. My name is John Mulligan. I'm the petitioner. I live at 115 Wabin Street. My wife and our kids have lived in the house for 7 years, and it's lacking a couple modern conveniences. Those are a half bath on the first floor, a small office area, and an insulated mudroom. We are applying for a special permit to further increase the non-conforming setback in order to build an addition that would house those spaces.
Good. Short and to the point. Thank you, sir. Planning Department, Mr. Cronin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the homeowner stated, it is a special permit to further increase the non-conforming front setback. When reviewing this request, the City Council to consider whether the proposed extension of the structure, which will further decrease the non-conforming front setback of the residence on the site from 18 feet to 14.73 feet, or 25 feet if the minimum allowed, will not be substantially more detrimental than the existing non-conforming structure is to the neighborhood. Whether the site is an appropriate location for the proposed addition, the proposed additions will not adversely affect the neighborhood. There will be no nuisance or serious hazards to vehicles or pedestrians, and access to the site over streets is appropriate for the types and number of vehicles involved. This is a quick aerial. It's in the neighborhood of the Boyd Park and Lincoln Elliott Elementary School. This is the original existing site plan. There's language in the ordinance that states that a corner lot is either defined by a lot that has frontage on two intersecting streets, or if that the lot is on the curve of the street. So this structure has a front setback all along Wabin Street as that curves. This is the existing and proposed elevations. So this is from the street. If you're looking at the house, the bend is to the left, and the proposed addition is to the left there, past that front portico or porch-like structure. These are more elevations from the west, existing and proposed, and the existing and proposed north elevations. Now I'll do the best I can to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Cronin. Colleagues, questions? Councilor Crosley?
Really just a comment. Because it's a corner lot, and so essentially we have two front setbacks, one rear setback, and one side setback. As we're discussing this, I just thought it would be useful to clarify there's sort of a primary front setback and a secondary one, which, right, when you define that normally, I know the building inspector defines it normally as the front facade that faces the where the address is, and the rear lot is the one behind that, and the side lot is the one to the side of that. So I just thought it might be helpful as you're... I have no concerns with the petition whatsoever, but I just thought it might be helpful to distinguish those things.
Thank you, Councilor Crosley. Anybody else? Any member... Oh, Councilor Schwartz, sorry.
Very quick one. I mean, I'm much in favor of projects like this that are trying to make the, and they're also consistent with, you know, comprehensive plan, trying to make old structures more modern with the modern needs. So I'm very supportive of that. Having a young family, I understand the need for a mudroom, definitely. Where else are you going to put all those sporting equipment? One thing that just came to my mind when I was reading the memo that I mentioned in the landscaping section, the planning memo, that there's an existing mature tree that's going to have to come down. Can you tell us just a little bit more about what you tried to do to avoid that and what you're going to do to ameliorate that?
Sure. The trees are next to the driveway, kind of in the corner that the existing walkway and the driveway make. And it breaks my heart to have to remove it. Our kids have a swing in that tree that they love. But we talked to an arborist, and he said that even digging a foundation half as large as what we've proposed would probably injure the root structure more than the tree could handle. So we couldn't find a way to keep that sycamore as it is. But we would love to plant more trees on the property after the project is completed. We very much appreciate the benefits that trees, mature trees, provide.
Okay. And as you're going, can you point it out where it is on that site plan? Do we know? Do you guys have a sense? Planning? I know you guys have them.
It's approximately where the steps come down. In the red, you can see steps coming down.
Got it. Okay.
From the proposed addition.
Thanks. Appreciate your dilemma. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? I see none. I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing. So moved by Councillor Lennon. All in favor of closing the public hearing? Closing the public hearing? Eight in favor? Closing the public? Eight in favor, none opposed. The public hearing is closed. Do I have a motion to act on the petition? Councillor Lennon? Act in favor of the petition, I presume?
Motion to approve.
All right, thank you. Do I have a draft board order, Mr. Cronin? Any comments on the first finding? Second, third, and fourth. Anyone have comments on those? They're all pretty routine for us, at least. Go ahead, please. Are there any unusual conditions here? None. Okay. We have a proposed order. We have a motion by Councillor Lennon. Is there anybody who wishes to comment further? Seeing none, all in favor? 8 in favor, none opposed. It's approved here in the committee, sir. It goes to the full council next Tuesday. There's no need for you to attend that hearing. You're welcome to do so. If you do attend, you don't get to speak publicly. And if it is approved on next Tuesday night, you can then contact the planning department or the committee clerk as to what your appropriate next steps are.
Thank you very
okay?
much.
Okay? Best of luck with your project. Thank you, sir. All right, next, 285-16, a special permit to create an accessory apartment at 133 Harwich Road. This is Shahzad Basala and Elena Braga at 133 Harwich Road, Ward 8. Good evening. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. My name is Benny Bear. I'm the architect for the project. I'm here with the owners, Mr. and Mrs. Basaria. And the only reason we're here this late is that the existing house is about 138 square feet short of the minimum required for an accessory apartment. The proposed work conforms to the zoning on grade ordinance in any other respect, dimensional requirements of the zoning ordinance. The owner, Mr. Basaria, would like to make a few comments here.
Of course. Go ahead, please, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and the committee members. My name is Cesar Basaria. I live on 133 Harvard Road with my wife and my son, who have accompanied me today. We are seeking the special permit to build an accessory apartment for our parents who do visit us very frequently and spend some time with us and their grandson. We understand that we have the right to build this apartment, this accessory apartment, but we wanted to provide them, in addition to their comfort and their privacy, also facility to have a kitchen, and hence the need for the special permit. I also wanted to mention and emphasize that this is meant for our elderly parents, and there is no intention in terms of having this apartment to let out for renting or for some other purposes.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Planning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the architect and the homeowner stated, this is a special permit to create an accessory apartment in a single-family dwelling with less than 2,500 square feet. When reviewing this request, the council should consider whether the site is an appropriate location for an accessory apartment. The accessory apartment will not adversely affect the neighborhood, and the accessory apartment will not create a serious nuisance or serious hazard to vehicles or pedestrians. This is a quick aerial. If you follow Harwich Road and take a right onto Pondary Brook, you'll be near the Mount Ida College campus, also the VFW Parkway. This is the existing site plan. It's kind of a narrow lot toward the rear, and the petitioner proposes to demolish some of that existing decking to create the accessory apartment. And this is the proposed site plan. You see to the left of that decking is where the basement will, or the accessory apartment will be located. There's also going to be a patio there. There's also several trees planted along that boundary line, and also some plantings at the rear boundary per the CONCOM's approval. And this is the proposed rear elevation. I do not have an existing, but it's very similar, except that there is no that wide slider down in the basement level. And the deck has obviously changed.
So can I just get some clarification, just so we're clear here. But for the fact that they're seeking an accessory apartment, this would be something they could do as a matter of right?
They do not have the house size to do it by right.
Besides the accessory apartment, the addition work they're doing, they weren't putting in a kitchen. They were just putting in that extra square footage. That would be by right?
Correct. Well, they would need a permit from the CONCOM because they're within the buffer zone, but yeah.
That's separate. And so the reason they're here is because they're lacking some 200 or so square feet?
That's correct.
Okay, just want to try to put some parameters around what we're doing. Okay. Councillor Crosley, then Cody.
You said this. I need it confirmed. Having struggled with the accessory apartment ordinance over many, many years, I thought, and maybe you could just direct me to the part of the ordinance, that if you didn't have, if your house wasn't a minimum size to begin with, that that was kind of a red line rule, and to, if you added space to the house, there was a waiting period. I think this project is fine. That's not my intent in asking the question. I just want to make sure that we are following the rule to the extent that, until we change it. So perhaps you could direct me to that section that I just need to see it again.
Do you want the page, or?
Sure. Yeah, that'd be great.
Sure. It's I believe it's 6-7 619 in the ordinance.
619. Okay. And then you didn't have any floor plans, updated floor plans. Mm-hmm. Do you have updated floor plans?
I do have the original floor plans. I apologize, I did not get these to you earlier. After your email.
So just to clarify for other folks, I sent an email because I found the floor plans confusing. The architect has presented floor plans, it seems to me, that are showing existing and proposed conditions in one plan. And so it's difficult for me to see the, I tried, but to be clear about what the limit of the accessory apartment is.
So the addition, the living room would be 248 square feet, and the kitchen is 131 square feet. Other than that, everything else is existing.
No, I understand. But you don't have updated plans that just show the proposed condition?
No, the plans include the addition to the basement. So it has the existing space, and then it has the...
All right, I'm going to ask this one more way. So I think the plans that I have in my packet on the same sheet of paper shows the existing and proposed condition, one overlaid on top of the other. Do you have a plan that just shows the proposed new work?
Yes.
So would we be able to see that? Is that, can you put that up on the board or no? Okay.
Is that in our materials, Mr. Coyne?
The petitioner provided them to me. I can't say what's in the packet, but I can't put it on the board, but I can show it to you.
Okay. Well, we have plans that are 9 pages of plans that were submitted to us. Do you know where in the materials they would have been?
I'm looking at A101, which has is reusable. It has the existing basement, and then it has the addition. The addition showing out 15 feet into the yard, and it has the addition going 24 feet wide.
A101, which for my colleagues, I think is page 4 of the stapled materials that we have. Is that what you're looking at? Pardon? Isaac.
That's the first page. Oh, and actually, after the cover.
Well, maybe I'm missing something. Right?
It's identified as page 101.
A101.
So A101, A102, and A103 all are showing, from what I can see, as well as an existing condition site plan. So, but those that you just mentioned are showing existing and proposed conditions on the same sheet.
Well, I just asked the architect.
I'm finding that confusing.
Okay.
So, do you have existing conditions and proposed conditions on separate sheets, or are they combined?
They are combined. We are showing demolition plans that show the existing, but we did not... submit them as part of this package because we didn't think that the demolition was going to become an issue.
Do you need to look at those, Councillor Crosley?
My question to the planning department, which I wrote in a couple days, or yesterday or the day before, I can't remember, was basically how can you tell what the size of the apartment is, because the symbols you're using and so forth, you can't really tell how you get into it. And
well, one of the plans that Mr. Cronin showed before this, one of the slides, showed the addition highlighted in yellow. That is the area of the addition.
Can you put that back on? Was that a plan drawing?
Mr. Cronin, could you put that back up, please?
This one. So, this. Yeah. Rectangle that's highlighted in yellow that shows some furniture and.
I have that drawing too. It's not the. It's not. I'm not questioning the addition. I'm not questioning even what you're doing. I just would like to be able to discern the extent of the accessory apartment in one drawing that is proposed.
I'll try to clarify that. I'm not sure it's going to be successful. But if you look at this plan right here. The gray rectangle that's shown, that's the original house. That's the way it is today.
I understand.
And the addition is the smaller yellow rectangle at the
understand.
Upper left.
But okay. Where is the accessory apartment?
It's the yellow area.
And
the area directly below it in that plan. Not all of it. There's a mechanical room that houses some of the services equipment for the entire house. But you see there's a bedroom, there's a bathroom in the gray area.
Okay.
And
so,
that's the accessory apartment.
Okay. So where's the second egress to the accessory apartment?
There's a set of sliding doors from right there, at the lower right hand. Corner of this, so I can go to the rear yard.
So, and then the primary egress is from the front?
It's through the unit. As it's to the main entrance.
That's what I thought I was seeing. So you're actually going through the main house to get to the accessory apartment without a common space?
That's exactly right. Yes. As stated both by me and by Mr. Bataria.
Well, let's not have a back and forth here. At least you're doing the microphone.
Okay. So
go
actually,
ahead.
My understanding is that an accessory apartment may be rentable, and it may, you know, once we approve it. But I now I understand what you're doing. So it's almost. It's a border situation, except that there's a kitchen. That's it.
It's really designed for extended stay by out of town.
So I just want to get some clarification from the planning and legal department, just so we're clear. What they're proposing in terms of the one outside entrance and the second manner of egress and from the front, is that permissible under the ordinance?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Permissible. My point was, I'm just trying to see the plan and understand it, because most accessory apartments have two means of egress directly to the outside or to a common space and then to the outside.
I understand that. I'm just trying to get clarity so we're all on the same page. Councillor Lipoff, Councillor Cordy first and Lipoff.
Go ahead. I'm going to move it after you.
Thank you, Mr.
We haven't done public hearing yet.
Well, my only comment is just if I get this clear with planning. So this is kind of like a chicken and the egg thing. I think it's a great plan and a noble cause for the family to have this. So if they built this addition, they could then put the accessory in without coming to us, right? If they built that as an addition, that would give them the square footage necessary to not need an accessory permit. Wouldn't that be the case?
No, I think they need to have it for a period of time. Isn't that correct? You have to have a number of years. You can't.
So they just have to be built and give you a permit time. Okay.
Okay. Councilor Lipoff?
This is a true definition of an in-law. One of the people who are staying here is somebody's in-law, is the husband or the wife. It's a true in-law apartment. It fits into the neighborhood. It fits on the lot. I don't have any questions about this at all, and I'd like to hear from the neighborhood.
All right. Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Come on up, please, sir. Your name and address, please?
Yeah, John Lawrence, Berkshire, Brookline Street, resident of London for 53 years. I had another property that had a similar situation that this exact thing happened. And it was great, and it was great when everybody was alive and living and let them live forever. But when people passed on, the property had two residences, and it was worth more money to rent out it as an apartment, two apartments, than it was, you know, to sell it to somebody that had a similar situation. So as a result, I had an abutter that had rented out their property that they built, and they did do this, and the family lived with them for 5-10 years, but the existing thing that happened when they rented out the property was they didn't maintain the property because, the rent, it became a rental property in a residential one-family residence area. So I'm just happen to be in a butter. It's an issue. It happened to me once before on a piece of property that I did own, and I ended up selling the property and moving. But it's something to think about, because once you build that in-law apartment, it's an apartment, and it's two residencies in an area that's single residency. And that's what you got. And they can move out, and they can rent it to two different people. We're in areas where colleges are. The way it is.
Well, just for what it's worth, I think we ought to be very clear on our accessory apartment ordinance, Ms. Young. Am I correct that an owner has to occupy one of the two residences?
That's exactly correct. And not only do they have to, they've always had to. And you're right, there have been instances where owners moved out, and it then becomes a question of enforcement. But there's no question that those owners have to be in residence at one of those two units.
You have to enforce it.
You call inspectional services. That's what they're there for. And they're not going to know it unless people notify them. But if it's rented out like that and it's violation of the accessory apartment ordinance, you need to notify inspectional services. Don't know what else to tell you, sir, but
I'm just stating that it's a non-conforming house in a single residency area, and if it's approved, it becomes an apartment, and so it's two double residency in a single residency area.
Appreciate your comment.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else who wishes to be heard on this petition? Seeing none, I'm going to entertain. I'm sorry, Councilor Schwartz.
This is a further point of clarification on the law, the ordinance. You can have accessory apartments in single residence areas, correct?
Yes.
So it doesn't necessarily change it from being a single residence area to being a two-family. And the whole point of the ordinance is to allow this. And in this case, I clarified this with the council. It, even though they're short of the 2,200?
2,500.
It's not that what they're building gets them up to that amount. It's that with a special permit, they can do it with 1,800, which is what they already have more than.
Right.
So on those two points, I think that, just clarifying, I think is important for everybody to understand. We're not allowing a multifamily. It's under the accessory apartment ordinance. It's enforceable, but as with anything, it needs to be complaint-driven.
Okay. Do I have a motion to close the public hearing? So moved by Councilor Lipoff. All in favor of closing the public hearing? 8 in favor, none opposed. The public hearing is closed. Did the architect have something he wanted to add at this point?
I just wanted to clarify to the comments we just heard from an abutter that if the intention was to create a rental unit, we would have designed it differently. We're designing it specifically for the needs of this particular family.
Thank you, sir. Before we entertain a motion to approve, does anybody else want to say anything on this petition? I'll add that, we have an accessory apartment ordinance. This seems to me a reasonable type of accessory apartment. I understand the concern that the speaker had. That is a problem, and unfortunately, and this is something we're going to talk about more, we are right now a purely complaint-driven system when it comes to enforcing special permits, and that's something we ought to be talking about as to how we might change that so we're not just dependent solely on people calling inspectional services. But that's not an issue for this petitioner. Do I have a motion to act on the petition? Councillor Lipoff. All right. Thank you. Do I have a draft board order, Mr. Cronin? For number one, it meets the requirements if the square footage is sufficient, correct?
Correct.
So do we need to add that somewhere?
I can add that.
Okay. Do we want to add anything else here? Do we want to add something about the second means of egress thing through? Are we going to leave that alone? Okay. All right. Anything else in the findings? All right. Conditions. All right. Two and three are the requirements to keep this as a true accessory apartment, including the requirement that there's an annual affidavit filed. Okay? Questions on the conditions? I see none. I'm sorry, Councilor Schwartz.
I assume that we don't need to condition it. Since they're going to... I mean,
it received CONCOM approval.
Okay.
All right. Okay, we have a motion to approve. All in favor? 8 in favor, none opposed. It's approved. Again, there's no need for you to come to the council hearing a week from tonight. You're welcome to do so, of course. If it gets acted upon and approved, then you go through the normal course. Any questions, talk to our planning department or our committee clerk. Best of luck with your project. Thank you very much. All right, last but not least, 284-16 is a special permit petition to maintain an increased non-conforming FAR 7-9 Allendale Terrace. Carmen Fugazzotto petition for special permit site plan approval at 7-9 Allendale Terrace, Ward 1. I'll note that the number of us, I think we all received a series of letters from neighbors in support of this that came in over the last few hours or so. Attorney Morris, why don't you give us a very brief overview of this project?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record. My name is Terry Morris. I'm an attorney here representing Carmen Fugazzotto of 7 Arundel Terrace on this petition before you this evening. I have offices at 57 Elm Road in Newtonville. Mr. Chairman, members, if you've read the report, and I know you have, you know there's a significant backstory here, which quickly summarized was that sometime in the late 60s, the petitioner's father, now deceased, erected the carport without a building permit. And it was, at that time, the important characteristic was it was attached to the neighbor's garage and it was attached to the house. And as long as it was a carport, that is, it was open on more than two sides, it didn't count towards the FAR when FAR was introduced. The current legal FAR, maximum FAR, I should say, is 0.58, and the house right now is 0.59. With the enclosure of this garage, that FAR increases to 0.65, and that is what we are seeking relief for this evening, the increased FAR. As the chairman pointed out, you've received many letters which I think describe the reasons why there's such significant support here, but not only that, they go to establish a factual basis for this petition in terms of what was there and what happened over time.
Do you need a variance for this one as well?
We do need a variance, Mr. Chairman, because there are, obviously the setback, it doesn't meet the setback because it's on the lot line. I think it's important to note why we chose this venue first. We chose to begin with the special permit process because that process is the venue that deals with broader planning issues and policy goals. And more importantly, it allows for a more humane administration of the zoning ordinance rather than the narrow application of the law.
And that's why we're here. The people's court, if you will. The Land Use Committee and ultimately the City Council. And we're hopeful of obtaining a special permit that will enable us to then go to the zoning board for variance.
Thank you very much, Attorney Morris. Planning, do you want to...
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Attorney Morris stated, this petition requires special permits to increase the non-conforming structure and to further increase the non-conforming FAR. In addition, the petition requires variances from the Zoning Board of Appeals for rear and side setbacks, lot coverage, and open space requirements. When reviewing this request, the council is to consider whether the proposed increase in the non-conforming FAR is consistent with and not in derogation of the size, scale, and design of other structures in the neighborhood. This is a aerial. If you take a right out of Arundel Terrace onto Boyd Street, you'll come up to the Newton Corner Commercial District. And this is the site plan. The garage was, or the carport was constructed to the southwest portion of the property, as Attorney Morris stated, connected to the neighboring garage. And I can answer any questions.
Just so we're clear, we're approving an increase, or being requested to approve an increase in FAR so someone can enclose a carport. Okay. Councilor Schwartz?
Actually, if I'm not mistaken, just to be more clear, we're approving a previously enclosed carport.
Okay.
We're providing, what is it? Forgiveness?
Retroactive relief.
Forgiveness instead of permission, which we do with some frequency.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Come on out, please. Good evening.
Hello, my name is Maria Josikopoulos, and my father, Christos Josikopoulos, English is his second language, so do I have your permission to sort of speak for him?
Absolutely.
Okay. Look, it's short and sweet. He's lived at 48 Boyd Street, which is a Butch Carmen's home, and we see no problem with forgiveness and keeping his carport for his family.
Okay, thank you very much. Anybody else who wishes to speak? All right, seeing none, it's in Ward 1. Councilor Lennon, would you want to move to close the public hearing? All right, motion to close the public hearing, all in favor? 8 in favor, none opposed. The public hearing is closed. Is there any discussion on the petition? Councilor Schwartz?
I don't know the whole backstory, so I'll make this very brief. I think, you know, we often do this, and we give some people a hard time about it. I personally think that the zoning code is pretty confusing. It's not that unrealistic to expect people to make mistakes. I think that it is reasonable for us to view these projects sometimes through the lens of, if they had come, would we be ready to approve it? And in this case, clearly we would, at least I would. So the fact that they did it, even though that's something that we don't want to encourage, it's not the place for us to make that punishment or retributive, you know, action. So I'll just put that out there. I don't know if other people want to talk about that.
You know, I'll add that in my view, there's distinctions between homeowners who are acting for themselves and professional developers who I think quite appropriately we can hold to somewhat higher standards of knowledge and expectation. That's just my personal view on it. But we're here on the merits of this particular homeowner. All right. So is there anybody else who wishes to comment on this? Seeing none, do I have a motion to approve? President Lennon's moved to approve. Do I have a board order? Okay. I think you have a dash in and keeping. I'd probably take that out. Anything else from this? Okay. Everyone good with the findings? Are there any conditions?
I apologize, Mr. Chairman. There is a condition regarding the variances required.
Right. Just so we're clear, they need to obtain the variances before they can exercise this special permit. Everybody's okay with that? All right. All right, we have a motion by President Lennon. All in favor of approval? 8 in favor, none opposed. The project is approved. Attorney Morris knows the procedure from here on in. Best of luck to the family. I hope this works out. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Thank you.